just thank you that we get to open your word. We thank you that we get to enjoy you. Lord, that you have, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, as we open up your word, it gives us hope. It gives us direction. It challenges us. Lord, and I pray for all those things this morning as we look at Deuteronomy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. If you have the word, and we'll try to have some slides up on the screen too. If you don't have your Bible with you, we're reading out of the New International Version. So Deuteronomy 31, beginning with verse 1. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of the land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. 120 years old. You know, I've heard some of you, and the saying goes, right, getting old is not for sissies. And I'm thinking 120 years old, I said, that's amazing, because I know some of you, some of us, I include myself in that, some of us are a lot younger than that, and there's a few pains. And I kid my kid about taking vitamin I, right? Ibuprofen sometimes. It's a vitamin that keeps me going. But 120 years old. Dude, what an amazing life. Moses goes and from 0 to 40, he lives in the Egyptian household, the Pharaoh's household, right? We know he started in just a wicker basket floating on the Nile River and gets picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And for 40 years, he grows up in Pharaoh's household. He's educated in Egyptian culture. They're academics. We know, amazingly, right, they at least know how to build a pyramid. And so maybe he had some pyramid lessons. He's like, how do you do that? They're going to be amazed for generations. But he got introduced and educated in leadership, right? Huge, successful nation, educated in military for 40 years, right? He was trained in all those things. And 40 years old, some of us say, when you're 40, man, I remember in high school thinking 40 was off the edge of the planet. But 40 years old, Moses enters his second chapter, right? When he kills the Egyptian, he says, man, I got to get out of town. Pharaoh's trying to kill me. And so he leaves town and he goes to Midian. And for the next 40 years, he lives there. He marries the priest of Midian, marries his daughter, and had to have two boys. And then he becomes a shepherd. And he is like thinking, you know, I didn't dream that life was going to be about this. Have you guys ever think that? I didn't think life was going to be like this. And so for 40 years, he does that. And somewhere along the end, God shows up in a burning bush and grabs his attention. I don't know about you, but God has to grab my attention sometimes. Like we kid about, you know, the old 2x4 on the side of the head. Personally, I'd rather like the burning bush than a 2x4 on the side of the head. But it happens. He grabs our attention, and he grabbed Moses' attention. He is now, right, how old is he? 40 plus 40. He is now 80 years old. And God says, I have an assignment for you. I have a job for you to do. If you go back and look at his life, for 80 years, he was in school. Some of us have trouble getting through 4 years of high school or 4 years of college. How would you like to go to school for 80 years? Every one of us is in school. Did you know that? If you live life following the Lord, you are in school. God is growing you. God is changing you. God is preparing you for you don't know what. I guarantee Moses had no idea what was going to happen. He had no idea what was around the corner. I mean, quite honestly, at 80 years old, you're thinking, man, what's my retirement account look like? You know, what's going to happen here? God job to do. And he sent him back to Egypt. And at 80 years old, he went into Pharaoh's household. It was a different Pharaoh, so he didn't remember that Moses, 40 years ago, was the guy who they were looking at and had a warrant out for his arrest. But he went into Pharaoh, and God made him the leader of Israel. And then what happened? From 80 to now, to the day we pick up in Deuteronomy 31, from 80 to 120 years old, he is leading Israel in the wilderness. And here he is. The question is, he said, when are you done serving the Lord? When are you finished? When are you done with ministry? For Moses, it was 80 years of preparation. Who's going to lead Israel into the promised land? The Lord says what? I will. The Lord, your God, will. He'll what? He'll go ahead of you. He'll go ahead. He's the advance team. Don't you like to have God as the advance team? He's going to see things ahead of time. He's going to create a strategy. He's going to put fear in the enemy's heart. He's going to direct, say, hey, don't go that way. Go this way. The Lord God will go ahead of you. The Lord God will destroy these nations before you. Just like he did to Sihon and Og, he's going to destroy those nations. Just like you've already experienced. It's really important for you and I to look back on what God has done. You know why? Because it prepares us to put our faith and trust him for the next adventure that he has for us. It's really important that we look back and God draws our attention. Look what I've already done. I am going to do that again for you as you walk out obedience, as you step out. When we rehearsed all that God has done, it renews our faith and we're challenged. The Lord said, God, would you do it again? Would you do it again? The Lord will give you the promised land into your hands. The Lord will go with you. In this promised land, you know, think about those things that you dream about, that how life should look. Anybody have some dreams about how life should look? You have a dream. God put those dreams in your heart. He said, this is what life's supposed to look like. God will put that into your hands. God will go with you. The Lord will never leave you or abandon you. He's not going to say, oh man, forget it. You know what? I thought we were going to do that, but I decided that we're not going to do it that way. I'm famous for changing my mind mid-time because I'm like, whoa, shoot, I didn't think of that. Let's not do it that way. Let's do it this way. And people are left over here and saying, Scott, what are you doing? I thought you said you're going this way. Well, just to affirm, that is not who God is. He says, I got a plan, and we're going to do it. I'm going to follow through. I am going to be with you all the way. You know what's interesting is not only God describes what he's going to do, but what does he say? He says, Israel, what is your assignment? What is it that you're going to do? First of all, he says, do to the enemy all that God has commanded you to do. To destroy them. You're not to leave anything around that resembles the enemy. You're to get rid of anything that distracts you from who I am. You're to get rid of anything that you're tempted to put your faith in besides me. You're to destroy everything. You say, no, but that looks good. What's wrong with that? I can't, that's not a problem. I mean, it's only a problem if I make it an idol, right? I just want to keep this on my shelf. I just want to keep this in my house. I just want to keep this in my mind. God says what? Destroy it all. Destroy it all. You must do to them everything that I have commanded. It's interesting as we look at this, I think it's a contradiction. I see contradictions in the Bible, and this is one of them. What does God say? I'm going to destroy the enemy. And in the next sentence, he says what? You need to go. go destroy the enemy. It's like, well, God, make up your mind. Who is it that's supposed to destroy the enemy, you or me? I think one of the great ways to look at it is that God calls us to engage the enemy and claim the victory he wins for us. We are called to do something. And then when God wins the battle, when God wins the victory, we say, this is the victory God won for us. It's one of those things that requires step out into dangerous and hard things and put things aside that we want to hang on to, whether it's security or comfort or our own logic, our own planning, our own pride. God says, let go of it. You need to engage the enemy. And then when I win the battle, you get to claim it. It's both those things that God always requires us to walk in, to trust him in. It's both. God, in such a fascinating way, he wants us to trust him and grow him, but and to be fully engaged in it. Of course he could do it all, but how would that grow our faith? It's not until we risk something that we understand that we really trust something. Yes, we need to walk out what God has commanded us to do. You and I won't obey God unless we trust him. We won't do what he says unless we trust him. God will not destroy our enemies until we exercise our faith. Until we engage the enemy in faith, God won't destroy those enemies. I can't tell you how many people have talked about different enemies they face. God, man, why don't you just take this away from me? Why don't you just take care of this situation? And yet, time after time, the enemy keeps having victory. God says, engage the enemy. Engage the enemy. And God will give the victory. Thank you, Lord, that you are the victory giver, the victory maker. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong is to be resolute about what you're doing. Saying, deciding, because I always think of strong, right? You tell your little four-year-old, be strong and muscles, you know. Be strong is about an attitude, about a conviction. Be strong, be secure, be assured that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. As we face our enemies, as we walk forward to the promised land that God has invited us to, that God has promised us, that God is giving us, that we would be resolute about that assignment. Be courageous. Be fully confident. Be alert physically and mentally about what's ahead. I know you can't tell, but I've got a two-pack. It's a six-pack wannabe. But I do my sit-ups almost every day. I do 80 sit-ups and there are crunches. And you can hit this two-pack. And most of the time, it won't knock the wind out of me. Because I am aware. When I know it's coming, right? Like, you guys, I toughen up. I used to not be able to talk when I toughened up. Now I can talk when my abs are tight. I'm courageous. I'm ready. I'm alert. I'm aware. Just don't hit me when I'm not looking, okay? Don't test me on this. But we want to be in an established position to be courageous and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm resolute. I know we're going to that promised land. I know God's going to deliver, and I'm ready. I'm set. My abs are tight. Bring it on. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. Yes, there is an enemy. Why do you think God's saying, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous? Why, there's an ugly enemy out there who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants nothing better than to break us down, to discourage us, to keep us from walking forward in the battle. He wants nothing better to take us out of the fight. Everything. He wants to destroy everything that's precious to God. Did you know that you are precious to God? You are precious to God. You are precious to God. There's nothing more the enemy wants to do. He hates God. He hates everything God stands for. God says one thing, he invented contrarianism. Whatever God says, God says yes, he says no. What God says no to, he says yes. God says this way, he says that way. God, our enemy, wants nothing better than to destroy what is precious to God. And that's you. That's me. You are precious. You are loved. You are thought about. Have you ever been rappelling down a cliff? Everybody says, no, no. And some people say, yeah, yeah, what a rush. Have you ever been on a rope swing or cable swing? There's a point in time where you've got to step off, right? You've got to step off and say, I'm going to just like enjoy this. And it's freaky to jump off a cliff and just lean back, kick out, and rush. And then to look around and see the 150 feet below you or more. It is a rush. I know I'm a chicken man. I love the rush, but also I watch movies of guys rappelling. My hands get sweaty. That's how bad it is. Can you imagine my hands get sweaty watching a movie? The reality? But there is nothing more satisfying than trusting in the adventure. Watch this silly video clip with me. I'm sorry, you know, I debated it. Oh, Lord, forgive me if that was inappropriate. But every time I watch that, I just crack up. I say, what a stud, you know? And it's, you know, which can you identify with? Are you the one who's ready to pull the rope and say, let's go for this, God. I'm going to trust you. And are you the guy who's like, what in the world am I doing up here? Don't you get the idea that she talked him into that? And all his friends said, dude, what are you a man or not? Get up there. You know, because you hear in the background, he hears their friends cheering for him. Yeah, way to go as he passes out again. And then they think about it just as we be strong and courageous. You know, God is way more secure than any sky swing. God is way more secure than any parachute that you jump out of an airplane with. And yet there's people that do things that are rappelling off a cliff. God is secure. He can take the weight, but just like those rides that we go on, those adventures that take risk, God is so much more. It's not even, there's no comparison, right? Because some of you won't go on those because of the other video clip showing of the rope breaking. And the guy flying off, you know, it's like, oh, I told you not to go on that thing. But God is secure. We get to trust him. We get to enjoy him. We get to, you know, I described the adventure with God. You know, some of us are screaming with their hands in the air, and some of us just want to throw up. But as we trust God, we get to step forward to engage the enemy and have the victory and enjoy what God wants to give us. Because I guarantee when that guy got off, he was happy. He was like, yeah, man, I was a rush until he saw the video afterwards. It's like, oh, you're kidding me. Why didn't we pay the money for the video too? It's like, but it was just those things when we trust God, he doesn't let us down. He delivers on what he promises. Those enemies we thought were never possible to destroy, God destroys. Let's continue on verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. Verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Moses just finished having a message to the people, and now he's given a commissioning service for Joshua. As he says, you know what? You're the man for the job. God is appointing you to take this forward. In front of all Israel, Moses passes the mantle to Joshua and says, you're going to lead them into the promised land. I'm not going with you. What does Moses say to Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. The same message, right, that he gave the people. Is there a different message for leaders? It's the same message. The same message for leaders. Why? It's important if leaders aren't exampling what be strong and courageous looks like, the people aren't going to follow. They'll follow what you do. They'll follow what you do. Be strong and courageous. When God gives you the land, divide it as an inheritance among everyone. Leaders, example, take possession of the promised land and remember the Lord himself will what? Go before you. God goes before you, preparing, directing, leading. God goes with you. You are not alone. What you see, God sees. He sees the enemy, but he sees it with his perspective. He doesn't see it with our perspective. He sees it with his perspective. He sees with strategy. He sees the challenge of what's up ahead. God will be faithful to you. God won't bail on you. Don't ever doubt that God is not with you. When you're walking on an assignment that God has given you, no matter how fearful and how daunting the enemy looks, don't ever doubt that God is not with you. What does God say? I will be with you. That's a trust that we can say, okay, God's with us. One, two, three, pull it. God is with you. Moses, that's something different than what was said to the people, doesn't he? He says to Joshua in particular, do not be discouraged. What is it interesting to me that Moses points it out to Joshua? I believe it's because Moses knows all about discouragement. Right? He spent 80 years of job preparation. He gets people through God's miraculous hand out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. At parts they go across, they see Pharaoh and his whole army and chariots drowned. They sing a song. They go, they get God's word from the mountain, they give it to the people, and the people start to do exactly what he told them not to, and they worship an idol. Then God says, go into this land I promised you and take possession of it. And what do the people say? We don't want to go. Talk about 80 years of job preparation and God and Moses leading them and nobody's following. Moses knows about discouragement. Moses knows about people's failure. Moses knows that there's going to be some battles that the enemy wins. But Moses says what to Joshua? Do not be discouraged. Why? Because God is with you. God is going ahead of you. God will destroy those enemies. Don't be discouraged. Keep trusting me. I will deliver. verse 9. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of the Israel. Then Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, in the year of canceling debt, during the Festival of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing near your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and fully and carefully follow all the words of the law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as they live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Moses is handing off responsibility. He's handing off to a new generation, but at the same time he's calling the new generation what? To take up responsibility. Right? There's a handing off. Have you ever tried to hand off somebody something and nobody will pick it up? It's like, man, I need some help. Or I need to do this. Would you pick this up? And everybody takes 3 steps backwards instead of forward. It's both. It's, we have a responsibility to hand off to the next generation. But as we are the new generation, to take up that responsibility. To take those things. The book is given to the priest, who represent God to the people and represent God to the people and represent the people to God. He also gives the book to the elders and says, this is representing the people who are making this covenant with God, this promise to be true. Read this book at the annual Festival of Tabernacles during the year of canceling debt. That year, Festival of Tabernacles is in the fall. It's really another name for it is the Festival of Ingathering. What a great, joyful time, man, when you've worked all year long and you got fresh corn coming in and you got all your vegetables coming in, you got all your grain in, you filled your barns. We're going to go celebrate what God has done. That's the Festival of Tabernacles there to meet. And at that time, they don't know where it is, but in the future, it's Jerusalem. They are to meet and celebrate that. And he says every 7th year, when it's a year of canceling debt, God calls that every debt that you somebody owes you and a debt that you owe somebody else gets canceled. A new start, a new beginning. Can you imagine what an awesome festival that is? A year that we get to celebrate God's goodness and provision and all his fruitfulness, but we get to celebrate canceling of debt. Would you like to go to that party? I would like to go to that party. No more debts. No more debts. And he gathers all the family. It's such a big celebration. Every 7th year, man, you're planning ahead. You maybe can't afford to take the whole family every year. It's just mom and dad get to go, and you get to stay home with the babysitter. But you don't just get the t-shirt. This year, you get to go. You get to go to the celebration that you just heard about. Every 7th year, so by the time they're an adult, they've done at least twice they've gotten to go and celebrate the year of canceling debt and the year of ingathering and the Feast of Tabernacles. They get to enjoy it. And they get to what? Hear God's word. They get to hear what God is talking about. Pass on your faith. Pass your faith on so that what? They will learn to fear the Lord your God. When you think about fear, it's kind of like, you know, like I'm going to beat the tar out of you. There's that kind of fear. That's man's fear. That isn't the kind of fear God that he's talking about. He's talking about fear God, esteem him, honor him, trust him. He's the original promise keeper. What he says happens. He's not only, I say things that I can't do sometimes. I hate that. God doesn't say things that he can't do. What God says he can do, he can bring it about so that they will learn to fear the Lord, be trusting. And you get to highlight that. That God is faithful, kids. He will bring. Remember we prayed for rain? Remember that year the rain didn't come? We prayed, God, would you bring the rain? Would you make sure our house is in order? Do you remember the next year, God, the rain came? Wasn't that so cool? God is true. God is faithful. God loves us. You're learning that for yourself. But you're also passing it on to the next generation. Pass on your faith so that they will learn to carefully follow his commands. specifically, intentionally, carefully follow. It's like, we're going to pay attention. We're not just giving lip service to what God says. We are planning ahead. We're following up. We're going to make provision so that we can do it. Passing on a faith to a future generation enables that longevity. It enables its future creating of what happens as we worship God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I talked before about all these things about a circumcised heart that Moses talks about. It's talking about Christ. Those things, that provision, that enemy hero that comes and destroys the enemy, point to Jesus Christ. And it's about hearing the words that God is able. God is going to win this battle. I can trust him. This is an Old Testament version of what Jesus commanded in the New Testament. Matthew 28:19-20, right? Therefore, what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. All the same things that what God, the Lord, spoke in Deuteronomy. Says, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to abandon you. You need to do what I say, though. You need to engage the enemy so that I can give you the victory. Hearing God's word, what leads to faith. Faith, what leads to what? Leads to obedience. Obedience leads to God's presence. What does he say? This process, he says, do what I say, I will be with you. As we walk out, as we engage, as we pull the rope, as we walk out in dangerous spots, we remember that God will be with us. Sometimes we like to pick and choose, don't we? It's like, I'm going to choose what I'm going to obey. Well, guess what? If you're choosing what you obey, it's not out of faith. God says, obey me. Because our faith is exercised when we are nervous, when we're tempted to be afraid, when we're tempted to not be resolute, strong, and courageous. That's when faith grows because, like, man, God, if you don't show up, this is really going to be bad. And God says, trust me, trust me, trust me. Leadership is so critical. Whether you are a pastor, Scott, others, whether you are a leader, whether you are a parent, whether you are a boss, whether you are a friend, leadership is critical. Which way does your leadership lead? Which way does your leadership lead? Does it lead towards God? Or does it lead the other way? What kind of leaders are you and I raising up? If they follow what we do, what is the next generation going to look like? Every one of us has a propensity, a default mode towards sin. And the temptation is all those things God gives us, those objects of love, of devotion, are all around us. The temptation is to turn our devotion to God to that stuff, to those things, to those relationships, to that security, rather than him. The temptation is to lose sight of the purpose of God's blessing and to worship the blessing instead of the giver. We all have that default mode. That's why it's so important to be in God's word every day. Not, I don't say that as a legalistic kind of thing, but it's because I got to hear. It's like, man, God, remind me, keep me focused so that I hate when I say, Abba, why didn't I? I love when I say, wow, I saw that coming because I was tuned in. God, to your voice. I was tuned in to what you were saying. I was careful when I should have been watching. I should have been alert mentally, physically. I was ready for the hit. Because the Holy Spirit, get ready. I'm telling you, you need to be watching. The mark of a true encounter with God and true worship is a transformed life. How can you tell somebody's walking with the Lord? Because they are being changed. They are being changed. Not perfection. Anybody perfect here? Not me. But the mark of a true person truly encountering God is a transformed life. That you're being changed from the inside out. You are being changed from the inside out. Come on up, worship team, as we come and just kind of, I just pray from wherever you are, whether you're watching our live stream or watching later, whether you're here in the room, that you would allow God's word to wash over you. That you allow God's word to encounter you so that you will be changed. Why don't you stand with me as we just offer ourselves, Lord, as living sacrifices. Dear Lord, would you transform us? God, would you help us encounter you? Would you help us trust you? Would you help us to be strong and courageous? Would you help us to step out, to pull that rope and say, okay, man, I'm going to go for this. I trust you, God. This is not for my death, but it's for my life. Lord, and you are pleased as we engage the enemy in our life that you will give us a victory and that we would claim it. So, God, you're the one who gave this victory. It's not us. Yes, we engage the enemy, but our only battle that we won is the one that you gave us. We engage, but God, we get to claim it because you're the one who gave us a victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship as we claim it. Sing this closing song. difference today.